At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is episode 195 of Bustin' Loose Baseball. If you want our reactions to the stunning firing of Mike Rizzo and the somewhat expected and yet surprising firing of Davey Martinez, go back to episode 194, our emergency pod. There are a couple of hours of reaction for you if you want those. But news today to get to, Toby, and that was the announcement that Miguel Cairo will take over as interim manager. The way this played out, he did not get on the plane and fly to St. Louis with the team. They kept him back to talk about the job. They offered him the gig, and then he wanted time to mull it over. Talked to his agent and his family, and I'm sure got a blessing from Davey Martinez, who he played with at one point in time in the big leagues and is very close with. And presumably, Davey told him, go for it. So for the second time in his career, Miguel Cairo will be an interim manager. He did the same thing in 2022 when the White Sox had Tony La Russa step away for health issues, and now he'll get his second crack at being a big league manager.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how exactly this plays out because, you know, it's the same coaching staff. It's basically everything the same with the exception of Davey Martinez. So I'm curious to see if anything changes, but I do think there is something good to have some continuity, but I don't know if it is. I think there's good and bad. The continuity of having a similar voice is a good thing in that it doesn't upset things, but maybe it should upset things, right? Maybe you should do something, but I don't know how much you can do in season with a manager. It was either going to be him or Matt Lecroy, and I don't know that Lecroy is going to come up there and upset the apple cart either. So it's an awkward situation, I'm sure, for all these guys who are boys with Davey to be put into this situation, but I think all of them understand that this is probably their final go-round for with this ball club, so they're all going to enjoy this final half season, and maybe it's a little bit of an audition for some of the other guys, like a Sean Doolittle for an advanced role, maybe once you know they end up cleaning house. And you know, for Cairo, it's an extended look that maybe he could earn the managerial job, but I don't know that there was ever going to be any sort of decision that they make there that was going to be overly inspiring. I just think for the most part, whenever these sorts of moves happen, the bench coach getting promoted to be the manager generally is the way that it goes. So this isn't really surprising news.
Yeah, unless there's a real issue with that bench coach or the staff, you're going to get the offer. It's the same thing that happened in the front office capacity with Rizzo being dismissed and them going to DeBartolo. It's just, you're the assistant, you're the next guy in line, you get that chance. And in DeBartolo's case, having been around here for the World Series and for many, many years, it goes without saying, he goes back to 2012, worked his way up as an intern. It's well-earned and well-deserved. I mean, he has had GM responsibilities for an extended period of time. You know, the people that maybe don't track it with other teams, but normally the GM, like Mike Rizzo, as of 2009, gets promoted to team president, which happened a few years later. And immediately you lose the GM title and someone is named a GM. Normally it's a young ascending executive who does the day-to-day stuff. That's what the GM does. Well, that's DeBartolo. That's Mark Shalaba. I mean, these guys have been working the relationships with agents and signing the minor league free agents and putting together the list of guys that they can contact and call as a team. And in DeBartolo's case, going over trade options and learning other team systems and, you know, building out data and R&D stuff, like all that stuff's been happening at a GM level. So they just haven't had the title. So it stood to reason. Rizzo gets fired. You just go to the next guy. And it's no different on the bench, right? Davey gets fired. The bench coach slides over at like a 90%+ clip. I just thought that there's a long history of guys saying no and just saying I'm out when it's their guy that gets fired. I thought Cairo might do that or might be unwilling, especially when he didn't initially take the job right away and wanted to mull it over. Again, I would imagine he wanted to get Davey's blessing more than anything else. But I did want to go outside of this staff. I did want just a fresh set of eyes, a breath of fresh air. You've got a couple of months of season left still out in front of us, 2.5 months. And I was just kind of hoping for something different. You know, I have no interest really in further empowering a staff that's done nothing but lose here under Davey Martinez that wasn't a part of the World Series. And I'm not overly impressed necessarily outside of Doolittle really by anybody of the group to be getting promotion. So, you know, do I care? Not really. I mean, it didn't matter at all. As you said, it's kind of an insignificant thing, but I would have gone with Lecroy. I actually had a lot of players. I shouldn't say a lot. I talked to a couple players on the team today who kind of advocated for Delino DeShields before it was determined like who was going to be the manager, that told me they really thought highly of him, or in some cases just had heard amazing things about him in the clubhouse as guys were talking. So that was interesting. He's the manager at Double A with Harrisburg. So I bring that up to say that that's the route I would have gone, just gone outside of the building, outside of the organization at the parent club level specifically, and gone to somebody else, because it just would have felt like you did something out of the box a little bit, and we're going to, you know, it's like having a substitute teacher. It just gives everyone a breath of fresh air. They chose not to do that.
Well, and what I'm curious is, what is the vibe going to be around this ball club? You know, they've got a week until the All-Star break, and then kind of you've got that time to maybe lay out your philosophy with DeBartolo and with Cairo. And I'm curious the vibe around this ball club. Is it going to be something where, you know, I wouldn't think for DeBartolo, who's kind of auditioning to now become the general manager of this ball club, I wouldn't think that it's a passive, hey, we're just chilling and we'll see what happens, and this probably isn't my job. I would assume he's going to go full out and make the necessary moves. Not that he can do anything crazy in half a season, but he does have the trade deadline coming up. He does have the MLB draft coming up, so he can kind of leave his stamp on the organization with that. And with Cairo, I don't know that I'm going to get that same sort of vibe. So I'm curious what in the clubhouse that vibe is going to be, because I think Barry Svrluga did a really good job writing about this in the Washington Post, saying that the team had gotten pretty comfortable. And he was specifically talking about Mike Rizzo. He was talking about Davey Martinez and kind of a comfortability, which then leads to some complacency. And he also mentioned earlier today, as we record on Monday night, he was on with the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, and kind of mentioned that he'd gotten a little bit of that vibe in the clubhouse. And I don't know that I fully disagree. I don't know that I ever came away with that conclusion, but you know, if someone walked in there and came away with that, I don't know that I could disagree with them. And so I'm curious if there is going to be a sense of urgency, because generally when you make these sorts of moves, you're not necessarily as worried that the season's kind of lost at this point. You're not necessarily worried about wins and losses to the extent that you were earlier in the year when you were quote unquote trying to win ball games. But I am curious to see if there is going to be a sense of urgency, a seriousness to this ball club in terms of, hey, we're trying to go out there and win. Not to say that everybody needs to be uptight and playing with looking over their shoulder and all those sorts of things. But I'm curious what the vibe around this ball club is going to be the rest of the way. Is it going to be that fun-loving group and everything's kind of willy-nilly? And not to say that these guys didn't care, because I don't want to say that they didn't. But it was a very loose group. Everybody's very friendly and all those things. Do we see a little bit of a change, or is it still going to stay the same? That's something I'm going to be interested to see as the season goes on and being in the clubhouse, just seeing the vibe around the guys.
I think that's interesting. Yeah, I want to see if some of the habitually unacceptable trends get cleaned up. You know, how much of it was that Davey just didn't crack down on guys enough? You know, I was saying on the air today here in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, but one of the hallmarks of Davey's time here, you know, there are positive ones, like the fact that the team always battled until the 27th out and came back time and time again in the eighth and the ninth inning to make games close when they were losing and sometimes won those games. But one of the negatives is that they have been a horrendous base running team for as long as I can remember. You know, really, since the World Series years, this has been as bad a base running team as there is in the sport. They've actually run into more outs on the base paths than any other team since the start of last year statistically, and that's just what I looked back to. But it would be the same if you went back 3 years or 4 years, in my opinion. And to my knowledge, there's just not examples of Davey doing anything about it. You know, when CJ's getting backpicked a couple times in a game last year, he's not getting benched. When, you know, guys are not advancing from first to third like they should, or you're not scoring from third base on a ground ball to second, you know, with the infield back. It's just dumb, nonsensical, outrageous stuff that's happened that we've seen. Nothing ever happens, and there's never really any kind of moment where you go, oh, wow, Davey really singled someone out to send a message. And I wonder if Miguel Cairo, who Davey has jokingly called his enforcer, like if he will do something like that, and if it does actually change anything, I'm going to be really curious and interested in that. The other curiosity I have is less about Miguel Cairo. I know we're reacting to that right now, but from a front office standpoint, I think it's going to be hard to like tangibly see a more analytical bend for the rest of the year, because the Nats, it's not like they don't operate with analytics in their decision making. You know, they pull pitchers before the third time through constantly, and you know, they in fact, I think they pull their starters way too early as it is generally, but like they are not as in the Stone Ages as people think about like how they operate in game. Having said that, are there things that we might see, Tobes, that we haven't before, that like if Rizzo was here, wouldn't? And the one thing I've come up with is like using an opener. You know, you and I were talking a few weeks ago about the possibility of using an opener at some point. And I think you brought it up for Mitchell Parker or Jake Irvin or something. And my point on that is that doesn't make sense, because like they still have to have a first inning. It's just the second inning now, right? But regardless, I guess my question to you would be, wouldn't that be fascinating if like in a week or two they use, you know, Cole Henry throws the first for Parker or something. And to me, that would be incredibly obvious of something that would never in a million years have happened if Mike Rizzo was still here. I don't have other examples. Maybe you could come up with some, but just little things like that where it feels like, oh my God, the Nats just joined the 2020s. You know, that's something that other teams try and do that just would not have happened here.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if maybe the batting order changes a little bit. I've talked about how I liked when James Wood was leading off for that short amount of time. Do they consider doing that and flipping him and CJ? Do they come up with some other ways to configure the lineup? But yeah, I don't know that there's going to be specific ways that you notice it. I don't think that they're suddenly going to start bunting more, because you already got some guys that already do bunt. I don't know that there's a whole lot of things that you'll be able to tangibly see. So it'll be interesting to see if it does sneak in there a little bit. I'm sure there will be points where we'll go, oh, okay, that's a Cairo thing that Davey wouldn't have done, or that's something that DeBartolo came up with that Rizzo might not have done. I'm sure there'll be little things throughout the second half, but I don't know anything too crazy. But real quick, back to your point earlier about kind of the accountability and pulling guys and Davey not doing those sorts of things. We actually had an example of this during the losing streak that we both said we would have pulled CJ, and they didn't. CJ actually came up later in the game and did come up big in a spot, so maybe we would have been wrong, but I think it was more so the message. Remember this, where CJ was on first base. I don't know that anyone was out, and it was a 3-2 count to James Wood. He takes off running to try to stay out of the double play. If he puts it on the ground, James Wood hits a laser to right field, and he ends up, you know, getting doubled off after the catch by the right fielder and throw back to first. The issue wasn't necessarily that happened, because even if he busted his butt and gave all of his effort, he probably still gets thrown out because it was such a hard hit ball. But on his time to second base, he never tried to stop to turn around. And after he did turn around, he never ran. He just kind of jogged back and just accepted he was going to be out. And in the midst of a losing streak, that's unacceptable. And I'm curious to see if those sorts of things, where there was even another instance where Luis Garcia didn't bust it down the line during the losing streak. And, you know, if you're, you know, 3-2 over your last five, and, you know, you hit a routine two hopper to second base, I'm not necessarily expecting you to haul your butt down to first base as fast as you can. But when you're in the midst of an 11 game losing streak, I need everything to show out. And they didn't necessarily do those things, and Davey didn't do anything about that. Is that going to be something that's different under Cairo? That'll be something to watch. And frankly, you know, I would love to see everybody kind of go out with that Dylan Cruz mentality, and everybody's just hard 90s all the time. So that's going to be something that I'm watching for sure, to see if there is a change in some of those sorts of things like you were talking about. And I think those are the things you're going to notice more so than if there's analytics playing a little bit more of a role with this ball club.